tsunamis beneath the sky. In time to say Andromeda, spelling out your name. And the Epsilon and Beta stars point me back the way I came. But I know this road like the back of my hand. I hear your voice in the back of my mind, and the way we used to laugh before.
From sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar regions beyond, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. I want to begin our show tonight by recognizing a tremendous tragedy that has happened here in the United States. I'm sure by now everyone in the world has heard about the really horrific storms that charged across Oklahoma, one of our states. And for those of you who don't know what a tornado is, those who live in places where you don't have those and you haven't heard of those, think of a cyclone on land instead of on the water. And it's smaller, and the winds are much, much faster, much higher wind speed than you have with a cyclone. And I've heard people say that this tornado was like a mile wide. I've heard somebody say it was 2 miles wide. It was a monster tornado. And so many people killed, and so many children killed. It's tragic when anyone is killed, more so, at least I think, when someone, you know, a little child is killed, because I mean, it'd be tragic if I was killed, but I've lived a long life already, I don't know. It's just very, very sad, and so my condolences and true sympathy for all of the victims and the families of victims in that really tragic, tragic storm that charged across Oklahoma. Last night, here at the Kevin Smith Show, we had really a very, very special broadcast. I hope you were here, and I hope you caught it. We had Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, who are on expedition. They're not on vacation. They are on expeditions, or an expedition, in South America at the moment, in Peru. And they go to some really dangerous places sometimes, and to explore and to discover information about Earth's real ancient history. And you know, there's history, and that's the actual facts, and then there's history books, and too often those are fictional, and they are fictional sometimes by means of what they choose to leave out, what they choose not to report. They go get real stuff. I'll pick up there when we come back from this break, and we will be back right after this. All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I was talking about Jerry and Kathy on air last night. You know, while on the one hand, this show has always strived to bring frontline information and, real frontline information. And I've always strived, if it's information that we have seen before or heard something about before, I've always strived to, you know, dive deeper into it and see if there's something new that we have not discovered in that information. Well, Jerry and Kathy are the source, a constant source, of real frontline information. And, they are just amazing people. It's my privilege to know them personally, and so I can say personally that they are amazing people. But you can tell that even if you don't know them personally. You sort of do through this show, and you can tell that they are really incredible individuals. Well, they're on this expedition down in South America, most of it in Peru, and they're in Peru right now. And, they go into some really very remote areas and areas that are considered to be dangerous, and they are dangerous. And why do they do that? Well, I can tell you they are not wealthy people. They don't do this to make a lot of money. They don't make, but in fact, they lose money on these expeditions. By lose, I mean it costs them money. It's not like they're doing this to make a buck. They really do go on these expeditions for the purpose of exploring some of the mysteries that we hear about. Now, some of those mysteries are even remote mysteries, and by that I mean mysteries you and I have not heard anything about previously. And but the people in the local areas know about those mysteries, and Jerry and Kathy search those out, explore them, capture them on video, and capture them on a still camera, I started to say film, but we don't use film anymore, digital cameras. And they bring that back and make it available to us. And I really hope that if you didn't catch that show last night, well, you really missed something. I mean, really special. But I really hope that you will go over to expeditions.tv. Now, that's not spelled expeditions. It's just the letter X and then peditions. Expeditions.tv. And join their members community and support their work, because they are, there's only really a handful of people in our genre of that caliber, bringing that caliber of information to us, and they're worthy of our support. So I hope you'll do that. Now, they didn't ask me to say this, and I'm betting there's some place tonight where they cannot see or hear the show, and so they don't know anything about this. But I hope you'll do that. Go over to expeditions.tv and join their members community, support their work, and be a part, a team member, a part of what they're doing. They are a cut above the top. You know, sometimes we say a cut above the rest or a cut above the average. These guys are a cut above the top. So be sure you support them, okay? They have a newsletter, and you'll want, it's free. Anybody can subscribe to it. You want to subscribe to that while you're over there. And we have a newsletter. It's called the K-Files. If you're not getting it, the reason is you haven't subscribed. And so nobody but you can fix that. Be sure you subscribe tonight. I think you'll be glad you did. All right, tonight I want to discuss, this is all about the world of the strange and the unexplained. I want to discuss a topic tonight that in various versions I have discussed, actually in some depth, since way back when I first began this show. I remember doing a show on Frankenscience in 2001. Now, the show began in 2000. I may have done a show in 2000 about it. I don't remember, but I do remember doing one in 2001. And remember where I was sitting when I did the show about Frankenscience. And one of the reasons that I remember that is because, first, I was new to the audience. I was new to the world. You know, in 2001, only a handful of people had ever even heard of the Kevin Smith Show. And, you know, we were not brand new, but pretty close to it. And so nobody, I didn't have a track record of people listening and knowing how I think about things and what is the track that I run on. And so they, you know, I didn't have that track record with people. And I remember that was the first show where I really got a lot of negative email. Got a lot of positive email too, but I got a number of really pretty hostile emails, and I remember one of those who has since become an ardent fan of the show. So it happens that way sometimes, and I'm thankful that it does. But I got some really nasty email about how I was anti-science and anti-knowledge, and if I had my way, we'd be back in medieval times, and, you know, things like that. Nothing could be further from the truth. I am really pro-science, and but I just don't buy that all things done by scientists are, first of all, actual science. I see a lot of scientists doing cotton candy stuff, and I talk about that sometimes. Number two, I don't buy the idea of just because we can, we should. You know, we can make a bomb that can destroy the earth. I don't think we should. So that same principle applies to a lot of areas of science. And just because we can do some things, I don't think we should. And I have reasons. I remember some of that email when I'm talking about back in 2001. I remember at least one or two of those emails really scorched me for being on the religious far right. Me? And people on the religious far right, if they had known about it, they'd have been looking around like, where is he? Keep an eye on that guy. there are things that science can do that I don't think they should do. And for very good reasons. And we're going to talk about one of those tonight. It isn't new, folks. It is the whole idea of re-engineering the human genome. And there are a lot of ways you can re-engineer it. You can cut and splice and do those kinds of things. You can subject, I'm talking about, you know, DNA cutting and splicing. That's one way to do it. You can expose DNA to various doses of radiation, various types of radiation, to see what kind of mutations develop. And if you see one that looks pretty good, then you let it grow. That's another way. There are many other ways. Artificial insemination of a species, not human, with human sperm. That's another way. And see what you get. Back when I did the show that I referred to earlier, there was a lot of talk about cloning humans, and that's what spawned the show. And, I said during the show, they apparently cannot do this yet, but you watch, you wait, you'll see. They were cloning animals at that time, and had done so successfully, actually, I think for a number of years, several years. And I said, you watch. You just wait. You will see that they will begin a human hybridization program where they will start trying to create some other species by mixing humans with other species. And again, some of that email said, well, you must be out of your mind. It would never work. There's no way that, humans can interbreed with other animals and get anything out of that. In other words, it can't happen. A human cannot cause the birth of a half-human and half-something else. And I said on the air, you watch. It's coming. For those of you, and maybe some of you listening tonight, are some of the people who wrote me back then, and that's okay. I like for you to express your opinion, whatever it may be. But if you wrote to me back then and you were telling me, what an idiot I was, I'm here to tell you tonight, we are there. We are there. All over the internet, there's a lot of talk about the news in the UK that laboratories over there have so far created more than 150 human chimeras. You know what a chimera is? It's not exactly a hybrid, but it is. I mean, it's a mixture. And we're going to take a look at some of the results of that kind of stuff tonight. And I want to warn everyone, if you're watching and you are easily upset by things you see on television, don't watch this. Okay? So if you're watching, viewer discretion is advised. And actually, although it's not anything really gruesome, it is so bizarre, I would recommend that if you have children watching, that you don't let them watch. At some point tonight, I will be putting a picture up that I don't think you want them to see. Okay? So, in fact, three pictures. And I will describe them for our radio audience. This whole thing of human-animal hybridization. Look, this is not new. And there have been down through our history, which is not all that long, but down through our history as a species, stories of human-animal hybrids. you have seen in some of the Greek and Roman statuary, you have seen representations of, you know, half man, half goat, half man, half horse, half man, half bull. You've seen this. It goes all the way back to Sumeria. In Sumeria, you have the representation of what they call a cherub, which is almost the same pronunciation in Hebrew, and in English you pronounce it cherub. And that's not a little, you know, naked baby with wings. It's a bull. A big, strong bull with the head of a man. So these representations go back as far as our known civilization goes back. As far back as the beginning of civilization. At least civilization as far back as we know, which is Sumeria. So this is not new. But people have always said, oh, that's just mythology. Well, you know, who decided that that was mythology? Us? What if it isn't? What if it's history? Kind of like the Trojan War and the city of Troy. Just mythology. Until one day, a guy decided to take the story as being an accurate account, and he followed what the story said was the route to Troy, and when he got there, there was no city, there was just a beach. But he got out and he started digging, and he found Troy, right where that, quote, mythology said it would be. So I think that doesn't mean that everything that was ever written back then is true. I mean, there was fiction back then. It doesn't mean that just because it's ancient, that it's the gospel come from God. But just because it's ancient and weird does not mean it isn't true either. Just because it's ancient and weird has no bearing on whether it's true or not true. All right, we're going to come up into the 1900s when we come back.
Telling lies, you hide the truth in your eyes. You never fooled me at all, you only fooled yourself. You spend my money like you got it made. You never had one bit of faith. I still love you, but you treat me wrong. So I pick up my guitar. Vegas to play some cards. You lost my money, you lost my car. Had to flirt your way back to LA. You only made it halfway. As if you're sorry, but I really don't. You think I'll go
can get you, but this time I won't. I still love you, but you treat me wrong. So I pick up my guitar and I sing this song. What you wanted, you got it. Everything you need, I'm taking what I have. Leaving me with nothing. You got me running around in circles, taking the best of me. Taking the best of me.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. So we're talking about these, this whole thing of mixing humans with another species. There are people who think that that would be a good thing. And there's a quite serious article about it over at Wikipedia called Parahumans, P-A-R-A human, Parahumans. Also, a bunch of information if you put in human hybrids. You know, I told you there would be social impact of that science back in 2001. I said there's going to be a huge social impact from this science, and it's not going to be one we really want to see happen. And so we're going to dive into it tonight in the early 1900s and come forward. And I think it's going to be pretty, for some people, very eye-opening. And disturbing, I think, for some people. In 1870, there was a guy born in Russia. And this guy's name is Ilya Ivanovich Ivanov. And the picture that people are seeing of him right now is a picture from 1927. And so he was born in 1870. And then... he died March 20th, 1932. He was a Russian and then Soviet biologist, and he specialized in the field of artificial insemination and the interspecific hybridization of animals. This guy... was hired by Stalin's Soviet government. He was paid by the party bosses, by the Soviet government, as well as by the American, I think it was called the American Foundation or the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. They also contributed to his plan to hybridize humans with chimps. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about why did the Soviet government, why did Stalin's government decide to fund his research? Because, listen, it wasn't like here in the United States where you can, you know, you can go to the government with your hand out and say, I want to study the sex life of fruit flies. And they go, oh, okay, here's $1 million. I mean, it wasn't that way. And, I kind of exaggerated about how it is here now. But, I mean, they just pass out money like it's cotton candy here. And, I guess it is kind of like cotton candy now. But these were tough times. And not very many Soviet citizens were allowed to leave the Soviet Union in those days, and certainly not top scientists. And yet, he was allowed to leave. He was funded. He went and worked in Paris with Russian-French scientists there. And then he went to Africa. And he worked there, and he did some, you know, there aren't a lot of chimps just running around in Soviet Russia. And so what he had to do was go capture some chimps for his research. And he did, and I believe, I'm not real sure, but I think where he went was Ghana. It was under French control. He worked at the Pasteur Institute in Paris and obtained permission from their directors to use its experimental primate station in Kindia, French Guinea. Then when he got there, he started proposing that the French authorities there allow him to do artificial insemination on human females and inseminate them with the chimpanzee sperm. And they, the colonial government there, said absolutely not. And so he couldn't do that. So he had several experiments where he artificially inseminated some of the chimpanzee females with human sperm. And it didn't work. And so he finally winds up, I mean, it's a pretty long, involved story, but we've got a lot to cover tonight, so I have to abbreviate it. He winds up back in Russia, and he's got chimpanzees. He's continuing his research, and he proposes that they recruit some Soviet females to accept artificial insemination from a chimpanzee. And he actually had females that volunteered. And, you know, for the furtherance of science. But time was running out. And, the chimpanzees were not used to that environment. He only had one that was actually old enough to be a sperm donor. And when he got ready to do this experiment, right at the kind of the last minute, that chimp died. And so that kind of put the kibosh on that. And then he fell out of favor. And there was a big purge, and Stalin had him arrested, and he was put into a gulag, and he died there 2 years later. There was a story. There is a story. It's a rather persistent story that what Stalin had in mind was for this guy to be able to create a hybrid of human and chimpanzee so that it had the mental capabilities of a human and would be able to hear and understand and take orders, and would have the strength and agility of the chimpanzee, if you will, and I know this is not a correct term, but an ape super soldier. Now, that's a big story, and lots of people, you know, have passed that around the internet, and it might be true. Nobody really knows. It might be true that that's what Stalin had in mind. It would be very difficult to think of Stalin investing in anything that was for the general good and welfare of his people when under him millions of them died. And under his orders, he was the direct cause of a result called death for millions of his people. And so it's very difficult to think that Stalin had anything noble in mind with this, and was thinking, I think, only militarily. And so I've read the arguments for it. I've read the arguments against it. But what we if we know anything about Stalin, we know that Stalin was not a good guy. And so I tend to think that the story probably has some truth to it, that he was attempting to create a super soldier. Now, I mentioned earlier that, you know, back in the day when we first began this show, I got email from people who said, look, it can't work. It will never, ever work. The human species cannot intermix with other species. It won't work. Well, there is a problem, of course, between us and the apes. They have 24 chromosomes. We have 23. We actually used to have 24, but two of them have been artificially spliced together. When geneticists, when they look at DNA and they look at our chromosomes under the microscope, they can tell, I would not be able to tell, but they can tell by looking that there are two of them that have been fused together. And they say it shows all the signs of having been artificially done, but then it's passed on and passed on and passed on. Well, I don't know who artificially did it. But we have 23, and the ape world has 24. So that was always going to be a problem. There are other ways to mix humans and other species. Artificial insemination. Well, that's kind of a primitive way to try it. There are other ways of introducing human DNA into an animal species. And according to the news out there across the internet for the past couple of weeks, maybe longer, over 150 of these hybrids or chimeras that are part human and part animal have been produced in laboratories across the UK. Now, they're quick to say, well, but, you know, we never let them get beyond the embryonic stage. Now, we got a social problem. We have an ethical problem. Because it's part human. If you kill it, is it murder? Think about that. Because it's part human, if you kill it, is that murder? Somewhere, sometime, somebody's going to do one of these, and it isn't going to be killed as an embryo. And then you have, I guess we could say, the birth of a new species that is part human. If you kill it, is it a murder? There are laws in a lot of places that prohibit this, but not everywhere. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to blow your mind. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I said, as we went away for break, I was going to blow your mind. Well, here we go. Let's think about the implications socially, ethically, and legally. Let me talk about what is now being unleashed in this Pandora's box of Frankenscience. I already brought up the thing about, you know, you wind up with something that's part animal, part human, and you kill it. Is that murder? There are laws against genetically engineering an animal to have a human brain. Now, let me ask you something. In your part of the world where you live, is it illegal to commit murder? Is it? Well, sure it is. All right. How long has it been illegal? As far back as human history goes. Has that stopped murder? The fact that there are laws against it, has that stopped it? How long has it been illegal for someone to break into your house and steal your stuff? Forever, right? Has that stopped people from breaking into houses and stealing other people's things? No, it has not. So, I think you can say that's two examples. You can see laws do not prevent crime. And just because you make it illegal to create an animal that has a human brain won't stop it. But once you do it, once the scientist does it, breaking laws as he does it, once he does it, there's no going back. You cannot unbreak a window. You cannot unbreak a window. And once that window is broken, it's broken. And there will be a flood of all kinds of scientists coming forward with all kinds of ethical arguments, arguing that it's not unethical to do this, and we need to change that archaic law. And it'll change. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, it'll never happen. But I want to remind you, in 2001, I had people sitting out there saying that mixing human and animal DNA would never happen. It actually happened before that broadcast. But now it's happening a lot. They said it would never work. It works. They said it would never happen. It happened. And now it's happening a lot. And some of you sitting out there saying right now that an animal-human hybrid with a human brain will never happen, I bet you it's alive today. I can't prove that, but I would bet it's alive today. I bet it's already been done. If it hasn't, I assure you it will be done. It's coming. Now, there are people who are for it. They say, well, you know, if we could mix humans with this animal or that animal and, you know, mix the DNA and get rid of some diseases and make us stronger and live longer, and yeah. Yeah. All the hybrids that have been produced and allowed to come to full term have been sterile. And they have all kinds of health problems. They don't live long as a general rule. But even if that could be overcome, here's a problem. Now you got something that's half cow, half human. Half bovine, half human. It looks pretty much like a cow. But it's got human features too. And it's got a human brain. Does it have universal human rights? And does it have, if you're in the United States of America, Does it have constitutional rights? And if it was born here, can it run for president? Now, you may be laughing. You won't be laughing a few years from now when I say, you remember back in 2013, I did a show where I talked to you about this, and now you have just elected a bull to be the president. Or, you know, half human, half jackass, can it run for Congress? I bet it'd be elected. I think it'd be qualified. But you see the legal problems? Do you see? I couldn't hold the laughter back. But I'm serious about this. Do you see the legal problems and the social problems that are being unleashed out of this Pandora's box from the depths of the mad scientist labs? Just because we know how, or just because we know how to find out how, does that mean we should? We are dealing with the death of our society and the death of our culture. That is what is being dealt with here. That is what is being designed. Even if that's not their intention, that is going to be the result. Because once they break the window and it's done, it cannot be undone. Now, I grant you, we have had some politicians that were rattlesnakes. I grant you, we've had politicians that were jackasses. I grant you that we have had politicians that didn't have the guts God gave an earthworm. That's different from having one of these chimeras in office. One of them, you know, they have constitutional rights, right? And so if they've got a human brain and you let them live, if you don't, if they got a human brain and you don't let them live, I think that's murder. If they have a human brain and you let them live, they've got constitutional rights. And if you're not in the United States, they certainly have all the rights under the United Nations Conventions on Human Rights. All right, so now you've got that running around. And one of the rights here in America that a child has is education. It's a right. And so now, you know, you've got this half horse, half human. And he's going to school with your kids. And they grow up together. They're good friends, you know. And then one day the pony man decides he wants to go out for the football team. And they say, well, I don't think that'll work. And he sues the school board for discrimination. You think this is ridiculous? Well, those of you who thought it was ridiculous that there would ever be a successful mixture between human and animal now know I was right. And I'm telling you, they're going to do it. It's coming. They're going to do it. And you and, well, I probably won't be around by the time all this hits, but you know, I hope I'm not around when all this hits, but your children, your grandchildren, their children, they're going to face these issues. And then, because of the lawsuit, they let him join the football team, and obviously, he can outrun everybody else on the team. And so, because he's got four legs and they just have two, and so he's a big superstar, and then it's time for the senior prom, and your daughter comes in and says, I'm going to the prom with John Ponyman. She's fallen in love with him. And then the day comes, she comes in and says, we're going to get married. Yeah, I know. It sounds so far around the corner. It sounds so far around the bend. You think I've lost my mind. Just as people did in 2000 and 2001. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, as we continue, for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're talking about Frankenscience. Frankenscience right here in 2013. And I've been talking about, this thing of mixing humans with animals and that it's not theoretical. They're doing it. It's being done. Now, we know everybody's talking about 150 of these have been done in laboratories in the UK. You can bet it's been done all over the United States and probably all over the westernized world. You can just bet it's being done. All right, now, I'm going to show you some pictures. Three pictures. I warned you at the beginning of the show. I warn again. If you're easily upset by graphic pictures, do not watch this. I recommend children not be allowed to watch this. Okay? I've given you fair warning. You got time to get the kids out of the house and close your eyes. Or get them out of the room, not out of the house at this time of night. But get them out of the room, and then you close your eyes. I'll describe it for you. For those who can take it, here we go. In the upper left-hand corner, a picture that was in the K-Files this past issue. And it's one that's been around for a long time. It is a picture of a mouse that has a human ear growing on its back. That is not a fake. And so we can tell by looking at this mouse, it's part human. Does it have human rights now? And should it have human rights? Would it be murder to kill it? Furthermore, if it's running loose in your house and you say, oh man, we got a mouse problem, and you put out a mouse trap, is that attempted murder? Now you may think, well, you know, our government's never going to do something so stupid as pass laws like that. Oh, come on, just look at the past 15 years. Just look at the bizarre nonsense that they've turned into law. Yeah, they will. You bet they will. If they find out, you know, all of a sudden the animal rights groups get on this and they start crusading for this new breed of animal that's part human, it's a big issue and there's a lot of voters. You bet they're going to pass laws that give rights, constitutional rights and human rights, to these animals. You bet they will. The big picture over on the right, this is in Thailand, and we can see that there is a deceased body on the ground, and it's not a very good picture of that, but that is part bovine, part cow. Its mother was a cow, and appears to be part human as well. It didn't live long. It died. Its color, that's not its real color. It's kind of a white color. It has a human-like head and human-like ears, shoulders, arms. Hands are not human hands. Where the hands should be, looks like cow's hooves. It's very obviously a mixture. Was not done in a laboratory, I don't think. It could have been done as an experiment of some black ops program, or it could have just been done because somebody was drunk. But anyway, the reason it's all white like that is because they have covered it in talcum powder, white talcum powder, and it's part of their religious belief that this helps prepare the soul of the departed for reincarnation. Now, that is not practiced all over Thailand, but it is also not rare. So that is a custom that is practiced in Thailand in many, many places. And in the left side over there at the bottom, that's the body of a sheep with a human face. And that's in Turkey. Now, to the best of my memory, that was stillborn. But there you have the body of a sheep and a human face. If the calf human or the sheep human had survived, would they have human rights? Would they have legal rights? Would you then have obligations to them? And, you know, if they have, here in the United States, if it were determined that they do have rights under the Constitution, and the subject was born here, that would be a natural-born citizen, and that would mean then that creature could run for president. Might not get elected, but then again, it might. I've been amazed more than once at what we have elected as presidents. The point is, we are, with this Frankenscience, unleashing on ourselves our own cultural, social, and legal demise. And then, you know, if someone says, well, you know, I don't think that the half sheep and half man, I don't think that should have, you know, full constitutional rights. Now you're going to get into all of the debate about, you know, well, who can say what is a human? And then you're going to get into all of that debate about, well, you know, back years and years and years ago in the United States, black people were not considered, you know, a full human. That's true, and it was wrong. They are full human. Whatever human is, they're as much whatever it is as I am, as you are, as anybody else. My wife is not white. My wife is brown, but fully human. And that's not hard to figure out, really. But then when we start talking about half human, half some other species, part human and part some other species, whether it's half or not, now you have opened a Pandora's box that has legal implications, and it has not only legal implications, it has social implications, cultural implications, and eventually economic. And you're going, economic? Are you kidding me? How could this have economic implications? Remember when I was talking about Stalin and the rumor that he wanted to build these super soldiers out of half man, half ape? That might be true, it might not be true. But the United States government does want super soldiers. All right, let's talk about super soldiers. You go to your search engine, you type in super soldiers, and you're going to see a Wikipedia article pop up. And if you go to that article, it begins this way. A super soldier is a fictional soldier that operates beyond normal human limits or abilities. Super soldiers are common in science fiction literature, films, TV programs, computers, games, conspiracy theories, and video games, but have also made appearances in other related genres such as military fiction and spy fiction. Many depictions of super soldiers treat them as shock troops or heavy infantry, although others feature them as elite commandos or special forces personnel. And it just goes on talking about these fictional soldiers. Fictional. Military fiction. July the 16th, 2008. Headline. $3 billion super soldier program, colon, 10 times muscle endurance, 7-foot vertical leap, wall crawling, personal fight, and more. I'm sorry, personal flight, and more. And this is an article that explains that DARPA, it says, let me just read the first sentence to you. DARPA today has a long-term $3 billion program to help make such a metabolically dominant soldier. And let me read the next one. In other words, the military is studying how to use technology and biology to meld man and machine and transcend the limits of the human body. That was 2008. This is 2013. They announced a $3 billion program then. What do you suspect has been spent by now? So if you've been sitting out there saying, oh, Smith has really lost it, he has, his mind is gone. Maybe. But is it my mind that's gone, or those spending $3 billion to develop super soldiers using all kinds of stuff, including the kind of Frankenscience that we've been talking about right here, right now? This is not maybe sometime in the future. This is not someday they're going to do this. This is actually, it's not right here, right now. It's 2008. They announced that they had a $3 billion program. And by now, it's got to be way more than $3 billion. You never met a government agency that knew how to save money. You never met a government agency that didn't have a hole in its bucket. That $3 billion by now has expanded to multiple billions for sure. 2008, you may just be hearing about it tonight. This may have been the first, your first introduction to it. Probably not, but it may be. And you were thinking it could never happen. Already did. It already hit you economically. Now let's see. 2008. This is when we had, and it's still going on, but this is when we really were in the wave of people being tossed out of their homes, becoming homeless, no food to eat, no place for their families, no place for their children. And $3 billion went to this Frankenscience. And do they know it's Frankenscience? You bet they do. Here is what the project director says about it. My measure of success is that the International Olympic Committee bans everything we do. Here's an update. Advanced gene therapy could provide cheetah or gorilla quality muscles in people, making them able to run 45 miles per hour speed or have 5 to 10 times the strength. Sometime in the future? This stuff is now. Right now. When you got a guy that's half man, half machine, it's a little easier to figure out. We have people, you know, with pacemakers. That's a machine. There are people who have, for instance, Parkinson's, and they have a little implant in their brain and a little transmitter that sends a signal to their brain that kind of helps control that Parkinson's tremor, you know. And we see those as medical equipment and medical aids. And the argument is, well, when you meld a guy with an exoskeleton, so that not just something he steps into, but you get him kind of melded into it, you know, like the Borg. When that happens, then he's got all these extra abilities and he's a great asset to the security of our country. The security of our country is not called into question only by outside influences and outside forces who might wish to attack us. The security of our country is also called into question by people who do things like this, let it get out of control, and it turns against us. Or they turn it against us and say, if you don't submit to this law, if you don't submit to this rule, if you don't do what we say, we're going to have Cyborg here kick your ass. You think this is future? You think this is down the road? That was 2008. What do you think they've got now? And we're paying for it. So the point, this is not a rant against that and, you know, that we shouldn't have those things because they're dangerous to us and to our personal liberty. That's a whole different issue, and that's true, but it's a whole different issue. What's at stake here is not just your personal liberty. That's one thing at stake. What's at stake here is your entire way of life. What's at stake here is society as you know it, culture as you know it, legal rights as you know them, the economy as you know it, the world as you know it. That's what's on the line with Frankenscience. That's what's on the line. Smith, you're a dinosaur. Yeah, so? I'm still right. That stuff is on the line. Well, you just don't want science to advance. Sure I do. I don't want science to advance to the point that they can, that they do build a weapon that can destroy the whole earth. Do you? Do you want science to get to the point that they have a weapon where they can literally vaporize this entire planet? Do you want them to get to that point where they build that? I don't. That's insanity. That's not science. What if the scientists over at CERN get to the point where they can actually generate a black hole? Not just one of those little mini black holes for a few seconds, but a black hole. What if they get to the point where they can do that? You think they ought to do it? Well, if they do, the epicenter is Earth. Just because we have the knowledge that can take us there doesn't mean that's a place we need to go. I know how, listen, I've lived in a lot of really, really, really seriously dangerous places. In those really serious, dangerous places, there are some excessively seriously dangerous spots. I know how to get there. Just because I know how to get there, does that mean I should? That would be insanity, would it not? I know how to pull a lion's tail. Doesn't take a genius to know how to do that, but it does take an idiot to do it. So what we've got here, we've got a real problem. We've got a problem of science being on the cutting edge of discoveries and technologies that are as dangerous to us and our way of life as the vaporization bomb that I talked about, just as dangerous to us. That fictional vaporization bomb that could, one bomb, take out the whole planet. I don't mean just kill all life on it. I mean evaporate it. The whole planet. Fictional. But I'm using it as an example here. All right. I don't think any of you agree that we ought to build it just because we know how. That would end our way of life entirely. And end life entirely. At least physical life on this planet. It would be over, right? All right, so with science, with science in the laboratory doing these experiments, what they are developing is as threatening to your way of life as that vaporization bomb. If this continues, and we're almost to this point now, but if it continues, we will all be nothing but zombies strolling the halls of the asylum. But I bet it continues. And I bet a few years down the road here, just a handful, if I'm still around, I'll be back on the air saying, back in 2013, I did a show where I talked to you about all of this. And when I get through, I'm going to be sued. When I get through with that show, I'm going to be sued by a jackass, a chimpanzee, a mouse, a hamster, because I was politically incorrect and I said things that were prejudicial about them. Laugh now. Bray later. That's with a B, not a P. Bray. Laugh now. Bray later. All right, I would like to know what you think about all of this. And so I'm going to open up the telephone lines and get your opinions when we come back after this break, all right? Get your phones ready. Here we go. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and the telephone lines are open. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call, and we want to know what you think about all of this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Man, am I glad you opened up this can of worms tonight. Because we are deep in this already.
Yes, we are.
The table started getting set for all this stuff back with the introduction of the Darwinian model of evolution. You know, that is what reduced humans to merely an extension of the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to that, we thought of humans as being something sacred, something different, possessed of a spirit, made in God's image, et cetera, et cetera. But the Darwinian model said, no, not really. We just descended from lower forms, you know, and we're just a step up the ladder from all the other things, and we're not really that much different. We're just one more step up the ladder. And once you've done that, then you've opened the door to do pretty much whatever you want with humans. You know, humans are no more than another animal that you can experiment with and do what you want. And that set the table for this and created the atmosphere that made it okay to do this sort of thing. Now, the Darwinian model was pushed by Thomas Huxley and some of his peers. The entire Fabian socialist movement in England pushed this thing just doggedly. And one of the early Fabians, H.G.
Wait a minute. You can't say that, Steve.
Sort of experimentation called the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Hey, Steve, you can't say doggedly now. They have rights.
Well, I got a house full of cats here, so dogs may have rights somewhere, but I got a small army of cats in my house that would challenge some of those rights. Anyway, we've been proceeding down the merry lane of figuring out how to alter the human genome and how to combine it with other creatures. You know, at first we were very primitive, as you pointed out. It was the old sperm and egg technique, and that didn't work out too well. You know, but we've been doing a lot of experimentation on the genetic level. You know, I mean, we're not only combining the human genome with animals, but with plants.
Yeah.
Monsanto has done a lot of work along those lines and done a lot of damage doing it, as I might add. You know, they took the gene that some women carry that make them unable to carry a baby beyond the second trimester. You know, they have an autoimmune disorder that kicks in with the second trimester, and they spontaneously abort. They have miscarriages. They put that gene in corn, and they sent that corn to Latin America and southern Mexico, where the Mosquito Indians and some of the other Indians that the Mexican government have been trying to get rid of for years. The spontaneous abortion rate increased sevenfold in one growing season. You know, it was a tool for eugenics, for getting rid of some people that were troublesome to someone else. Mm-hmm. That's just one example of combining the human gene with plant life to disastrous results. And now, we've also been working on, you mentioned the super soldier. Mm-hmm. They've used brain electrodes and brainwave technology to teach Delta Force and Navy SEALs a kind of a decision matrix that is way beyond what any normal human is able to conceive of. You know, they can stand in front of a jungle trail or an alleyway in a strange city, and they can know. They just know which alleyways are safe and which are going to lead to their demise. You know, if I go down that way, it's going to kill me. You know, the average person would look at it and have to flip a coin, but these guys are able to make these decisions just within a snap because their brains have been trained through technology to do this sort of thing. That's part of the training that the Delta Force goes through and the Navy SEALs go through. You know, so that is combining technology with human biology. You know, we have been working on making human chimeras for a long time. The CIA even sent a doctor. No, it wasn't the CIA. It was DARPA. DARPA sent a Dr. Davis down to Haiti to study the zombie process, because they wanted to make humans that didn't need to breathe oxygen. You know, how do the Haitian Voodoo priests do this? I mean, they do it. They're successful with it. And we wanted to figure out how to do it, too. And we were able to do it. And that particular type of zombie that could be used in anoxic situations were known as zombies, Z-O-M-B-I. It didn't have the E on the end of it. You add the E on the end of it, and you've got an unsuccessful zombie that's pretty much a renegade and impossible to control and becomes carnivorous and psychopathic. Those are the zombies that are featured in the TV series and in the movie memes and so on. That's that particular zombie. And that's some technology that probably got out of control with that guy down in Florida that ate the guy's face off that time. You know, he may have been a product of that experimentation as well.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question now. The stuff that I've been talking about here tonight is pretty wild stuff, you know, about the social implications, the cultural, the legal, and the economic impact of this. We're already beginning to see. I gave one example, just one, of the economic impact: $3 billion for one program, and that was in 2008. How long do you think it will be before they turn the super soldiers loose on us? Because they're already turning the drones loose on us.
I don't think we have very long to wait, Kevin. I think it's maybe one or two major disasters down the road. You know, they have to introduce events that damage the social fabric. If they can create an event that completely disrupts our trust in the federal government's ability to provide security and protection for us as a people, I think there would be a general uprising at that point, and then they would deploy some of these super soldiers against us. Now, most of the guys that I know or have known who are products of either Delta or SEAL training are pretty straight-up guys. You know, they're highly trained, and they do have a lot of this capability in them, but they ain't swallowing the Kool-Aid. You know, at least the ones I know. However, I can tell you this: the group that was formerly known as Blackwater, you know, these mercenaries, this private mercenary group, used to be owned by Dick Cheney. Well, Cheney sold Blackwater to the Knights of Malta, and they changed their name. They're not Blackwater anymore. It's a name that starts with X-E,
yes,
and the X
Z.
Is a Maltese cross turned kind of angular. And I know that they're doing something with them as well. Now, I don't know any of them, or if I know them, I don't know that who they are. I don't think that we would be able to identify them, because I think these are the guys that would finally be turned on us. I think it would be products of what used to be known as Blackwater, now owned by the Knights of Malta, because they don't owe any allegiance to any nation. You know, this is a total extra-national globalist organization that, you know, they don't owe any allegiance to any country or any nation.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. Do you agree or disagree? Hang on a second. I've got my volume turned way down. Do you agree or disagree when I say this stuff is going to happen? I mean, the chimeras or chimeras, as you pronounced it. We're going to have half human, half animal come to full term, and then we're going to be faced with all of these social issues and legal issues. Do you agree or disagree that that's down the road?
I partially agree with you, Kevin. I think the chimeras are going to be there. However, I think before it becomes an ethical issue for people at large to deal with, I think the folks that are at work on creating them are so unethical on their own that I think they will dispose of these creatures when they're done with them. I think when they're finished doing whatever they bred them to do, you know, it's kind of like Navy SEAL Team 6. What happened to them after they did what they were supposed to do? They were taken out in a helicopter crash. They're all dead now. You know, they're gone.
Okay.
And I think the people who create these beings, I don't think they're going to let them become an ethical issue because these guys don't have any ethics.
Well, the problem is, it's going to leak out that they killed them, and whenever that leaks out, there's going to be an uprising of both human rights groups and animal rights groups, and there will be an uprising that can topple a government over that issue.
I'd hate to see it come about that way, Kevin, but I think something like that's inevitable.
Yeah. See, they can't keep it hidden forever. That's the thing. Hey, Steve, I got to run along, but I want to thank you for the call, man. As always, very interesting.
All right, you bet, Kevin. Keep up the good work. Great
Thanks.
Show.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And if you have human ears and human fingers, pick up your telephone and give us a call. If you are half human and half piglet, yeah, give us a call. I'll talk to you. All right. If you're one of the half and half, give us a call. I'll talk to you, and we'll see what you think about all of this as well. But folks, you know, it's crazy. As some of this sounds, and don't think that I don't hear how nutty some of this sounds. I mean, I do. But as crazy as it sounds, it's here. It really is here. Pandora's box has been opened. And, you know, these are things that we really have to, each of us, think about and decide, you know, well, what's our response to all of this going to be? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I've seen that sheep with a human face on it before. That gives you a new definition of sheeple, doesn't it?
Well, it does, yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'm pretty sure you're right. The moral and ethical questions will come up, but then again, I think Steve is right. These guys don't have any ethics.
It's not going to be a problem for them.
What?
It's not going to be a problem for them. The guys that invented the atomic bomb didn't die at Hiroshima.
No.
It's not a problem for the guys that create it.
No.
It's a problem for the people that have to live with the results of it.
This is true. But I.
Hey, hang on. We got a break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me, Brent from Wyoming. You still with us, Brent?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I had to cut you off because of the break. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a possible development scenario as to how it started and where it might end up.
Okay.
You go back to the post-World War II, maybe even during the later stages of World War II. That's when Freud was working with hypnosis a little bit. In fact, if I remember correctly, he said he would rather have studied hypnosis and gone into psychology. Now, let's say they could create Manchurian candidates using hypnosis. It's been proven it can be done.
Okay.
I agree that I'll say that Steve, the people he knows that were part of the Delta Force and those groups and SEAL teams, they may be exactly what they are, but there also might be a hypnotic implant that they don't know about. They may be Manchurian candidates.
Yeah, but the only thing about super soldiers that even touches this program is the fact that they are genetically altered as well sometimes.
It's the
genetic altering that has me concerned, because it's not going to be confined to them. Okay. It's coming to the public arena.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is they started there. Then they said, how can we improve these people, these soldiers, to make them more deadly? Then they started looking at additional training, psychological, mental training. Then they started looking at the genetics. How can they...
Well, it actually started with Ivanov and back in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And
I'm thinking about the Americans.
Believe me, the Americans have sucked up all the science they can out of the Soviets. They've sucked up all the science they can out of the Germans, out of the French, out of anybody where they can get it. And
That's right.
You know, if Ivanov hadn't done it, somebody here would have done it. But Ivanov did do it, and he's the one that kicked it off in the modern science era. And now, you know, it's all over the internet now about the fact that the UK labs have created these human animal hybrids, over 150 of them, and they have not let them live. And my question is, since it's part human, is that murder?
I honestly can't answer that.
I don't have an answer either. But I see, that's one of the big issues that is going to have to be grappled with. And there are people that say, well, I'll never have to think about that. Yes, you will, because it's a tax issue. $3 billion of your dollars got spent on that kind of stuff. That's a tax issue. It becomes a political issue then, because it's a tax issue.
Yeah. I'm going to go to my conclusion real quick.
Uh-huh.
What they're going to wind up with is a Borg.
Maybe.
A biological robot with a human brain.
They may already have it.
I think they do.
They may. And I don't know that they do, and I don't even suspect that they do, but they may. And, you know, we're in deep kimchi then.
Well, like the estimate is, for every 1 year of public development, the military has 44.
Yeah, so that's one estimate of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Brent, got to move along. Thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. What do you think about this? You may think this is never going to touch you. It already did. It already did. I told you in 2001 it would. And some of you thought I was nuts. You might have been right about that. I don't know. But I was right about this. It has already touched you. You've already been paying for this. And it ain't through touching you yet. It's going to touch you more and more and more. And, you know, I mean, what about, you know, there's a certain number of folks in this world who are what we call naturists or nudists. And we have laws that say they can't do that out in public. But, you know, when half man, half horse runs through Central Park, he won't be wearing trousers, right? And they can sue. If he can go naked, so can they. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is John from Arizona.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. You're going to have to hurry, though, because you're almost out of time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll hurry.
All right.
As you were talking about the respect for an animal that has human characteristics, I was taken back to the movie Braveheart. No, not Braveheart, but The Last of the Mohicans.
Okay.
When he shot the deer, and out of respect for the deer, he said a prayer and thanked the deer for the meat that he had given him, and wished that his spirit a fast trip, you know, back to the spirit world. And, you know, and I would like to see that kind of future, you know, in that, you know, more of a respect for the animal. And there are people now that have that kind of respect.
Well, I agree with you, but what about when that animal is half human? Hello?
Well, there comes a point when you have to decide, is it more human than animal? Is it, for me...
Yeah, but at what point does it become murder?
Well, let's go back to...
you got about 20 seconds.
You go back to the ape that could do sign language and express independent thought and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, we think that, you know, for a long time, you and I, when we were growing up, that was the difference between us and animals. We had emotion. We could love. We could hate. We could.
Okay, we're running out of time here. Make your point. I want to hear it.
Well, the point is, if we progressed in the right way, I think we could handle it.
I don't. What are you going to do when you sit down, have your hamburger at the fast food place, go home, and the next morning you open up the newspaper or you open up your computer and you look on the internet, and there's a big report that burger chain that you just ate at has been serving horse meat. And furthermore, it wasn't all horse. Are you a cannibal then? Wow. That's going to be a mess. Hey, John, I got to run, man. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right. Yeah, we're just out of time. I wish we had more time. Such a big subject, I had to go through it. Folks, it's not down the road. It's on your front porch right now. We need your support. We've been out here for a lot of years bringing you the information. Some of it you thought was crazy. Well, here we are. And we need to still be here for years to come. In order for that to happen, we have to have your support. And the way you can do that is to go over to the website, click where it says donate, and please donate. You might say, well, I don't have an extra $100. Hey, you got an extra buck? Believe me, some months it makes the difference. $1 makes the difference in us making it or not. We are totally listener supported. We don't sell ads. And so it's important. We need your help. I want to thank everybody who called in tonight. And you made it happen. Thank you very, very much. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.